listen, what I want to do today, I want to kind of pick up where we left off last week. I really want to talk a little bit more about advancing the kingdom through outreach. If you were here last Sunday, you already know we talked a lot about the Living in Victory Ministries and Celebrate Recovery. And was that not a powerful service last week? I mean, to hear the testimonies of particularly those ladies whose lives have just been so phenomenally changed because of you, because of your love, because we said we want a Spirit Life Church here in this community that can touch people and make a difference in people's lives. And you responded, you gave. We gave over $3,000 last week to support that ministry. Yeah, give yourselves a hand. Several of you, somebody showed me a stack of cards where people had signed up saying, hey, I want to get involved in that ministry. I'm willing to help. And so just a great day. But I want to just keep kind of talking in that vein about outreach ministry and advancing the kingdom through outreach ministry. Maybe I need to start with a definition. What do you mean, Pastor Tommy, when you're talking about outreach ministry? What is outreach? And I don't have a Webster's dictionary for that, but just kind of out of my heart, what outreach is getting outside the four walls of this. Well, we got more than four walls in here. I got to quit saying that. Getting outside of the eight walls of this church and reaching out into the community, going out where people are, where life is happening, where broken people need Jesus. And we reach out to the folks that are not saved, or they're lost, or they're unchurched, or whatever's going on in their life. And we identify this felt need, use the term felt need, where it's like, I've got this need in my life. I need some help. And we try to reach out and connect with them at that point of their felt need. But we try to do more than just give them a bus token or a meal or some clothes. We try to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ because he's the one that really changes their life, right? And ultimately, what we want to see happen out of outreach ministry is we reach out and then we bring them in and then we disciple and grow them and then we send them back out to bring more people back in and just keep introducing people to Jesus. And I'm glad that Spirit Life Church is that kind of church, that we already believe in outreach. Now, that's not to say that there's not value in ministering to those that are already in the body of Christ, that we need to take care of those that are already in the house. Yes, we do. And we do that in a lot of different ways as well, whether, you know, some of you just came from a Sunday school class. That was a way where we're ministering to the people who are here. You know, we got children's church going on right now, ministering to the people who are here. You're listening to the message today, ministering to people that are here, the worship that we just had, ministering to the people who are here. A lot of things that we do that ministers to the people. And the Bible talks about how we're to love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, bear ye one another's burdens. So there's a lot to be said about ministering to those that are already in the house. I mean, when we look at the 23rd Psalm, it's a beautiful example of the shepherd who's taking care of his flock, and he's leading them beside still waters, and he's letting them lay down in the green pastures, and he's restoring our soul. And so we need that while we're here, because just because we're Christians doesn't mean we've got it all together, right? We still have our problems, our issues that we still need to be working on, but we've got to make sure that we keep the proper focus and not really get too imbalanced. I believe that the picture of a church is not a country club that we're just kind of all, you know, happy to be together and having a wonderful time together. But the picture of a church really is more like the emergency room of a hospital, where broken people, hurting people are coming in, and we're doing everything we can to bring healing into their lives. And you know, when you see a church that gets that balance wrong, it gets imbalanced, begins to focus too much on us and me and we and what we like and what we want and scratch my itch, and we fail to see those that are outside that are still hurting. And I've just seen too many churches that get that out of balance, and churches that one time were strong churches, you know, impactful churches, making a real difference in communities. And you know, right now I'm thinking of a couple in my mind. Maybe you could think of some that once were strong churches, and now there's just this handful of people just kind of holding out, saying, you know, just, you know, we're just trying to hang on till Jesus comes. And that's just so sad. I'm glad that that is not a picture of Spirit Life Church. Amen. I love the fact that we really do. We want to minister. We want to have as great of a time as we can have when we get together, minister to one another, love on one another. But then we realize it's not enough just to do it here, that we've got to reach out into our community. And, you know, I shared with you several years ago that outreach is not just a department of our church, but that outreach is a part of every department of our church. We don't just get one person, two people to go, hey, y'all go do the outreach for us, and then we'll feel good about the fact that we've got an outreach ministry in our church. No, it's all of us. It's every department needs to be an outreach department. I want our children's ministry to be an outreach department, reaching more kids and bringing them in and telling them about Jesus. Because if we get them saved while they're young, how many of you know there's a whole lot better chance that they're going to serve Jesus all of their life? And if we can get those kids saved, then hey, we may even get some of their parents to become a part of our church. So children's ministry should be outreach. Youth department should be outreach. I mean, our media department should be outreach. Every part of our church should be about reaching out and making a difference in other people's lives. But then there are those ministries that we have that really are specifically outreach focused, like Celebrate Recovery, like the Living in Victory ministry that we highlighted last week. But there are others. I mean, there's the Saturday Storehouse, where once a month we give away food and clothes, and we're partnering together with Rod Baker and with North Star Church, and you know they provide food, and you know we don't have to do all of that. We just partner with them and bless this community by doing that. We've got the Epic Hope House across the street that's doing outreach ministry into our community. Talking about over at the Epic Hope House, it blesses me every Tuesday morning when I show up here and I look at a parking lot full of folks over there, and the Good Samaritan van has pulled in, and we're partnering with Good Samaritan Clinic to provide medical care for the people that are in this community. I mean, we do have a doctor in the house today, but, you know, earlier service I said, I don't know that we got a doctor in the house, but I know we do in this service. Dr. Gary's here, but he's busy, but hey, we can still provide medical care and partner with others that are willing to do that. And Jackie's over there, drives that van for the Good Samaritan Clinic, and we've got people who are part of that. We don't just give them medical care, though. We sit down and we counsel with them, we pray with them, we share Jesus with them, we see lives being transformed because we're reaching out. We've got Tulsa House of Prayer. I know people think, well, Tulsa House of Prayer, did you know, Caleb, I know it's over 30 hours a week that you guys are in here in this sanctuary praying every week. Update, 40. It's 40 hours now. They just keep expanding, more and more prayer sets. 40 hours of prayer. Listen, before you got here this morning, there was 40 hours of prayer in this place last week. Man, I'm just loving that. But they don't just come in here and pray. They go out into our community, and they love on people and pray for people. And Caleb tells me these stories that they see stuff happening, like, you know, they'll be standing out in the glass, you know, looking out the front window, and they'll see somebody walking down the street, and all of a sudden they hit our parking lot. All of a sudden they start manifesting demonically, you know, because the power of God here conflicting with the demonic spirits that's inside of them. I'm telling you, we're making a difference in our community. Praise the Lord for that. You know, some of those ministries are solely Spirit Life ministry. Church ministries are just stuff that we do in-house. And some of those things that I've named with you, they're things where we partner with other organizations. And you say, why do we partner with these other organizations? Because I just don't believe in reinventing the wheel. You know, when you find an organization that's really specializing in something, they're doing a good job in it, hey, instead of us trying to duplicate what they're doing, why don't we come alongside of them and help them out, and they'll help us out, right? There's this story in the Bible where some of Jesus' disciples were fishing. All of a sudden, they're catching a whole bunch of fish. It's more than they can handle. And they call for their partners in the other boat and say, hey, come over here and help us. And it says that there were so many fish that both boats began to sink. You know, that's coming alongside of one another. You know, when we're talking about outreach ministry, I think of the story in the Bible of Jesus. When John tells this story about how the story starts with these words in the King James Version. And Jesus says, I must needs go through Samaria. You remember that story? I must needs go through Samaria. And what he does is he comes to the city of Samaria and he finds a woman at a well whose life is a wreck. I mean, she is just, you know, she's not happy with life. She's miserable. She's looking for answers. She's looking for joy. She's looking for happiness. She's looking for purpose and meaning in life. And it's just not happening for her. And Jesus sits down at the well and he starts to talk to her about the natural need, the felt need that she had was some water. And so he starts talking to her about water. Well, give me some water. And the next thing you know, they've got this conversation and Jesus switches on her mid-conversation, midstream. And he says, let's talk about spiritual water, living water that I could give you that you'll never thirst again. And she's like, really, is that possible? And before it's all over with, this woman's life is transformed. She goes into the town. She tells everybody, hey, you got to come see this guy. I mean, he told me all about my life, and I think he's the Messiah. You got to come hear from him. You know, Jesus didn't have to go to Samaria, but he had to go to Samaria. You see, it wasn't necessarily on his journey. It wasn't along the path that he was taking. It wasn't necessarily convenient for him. It wasn't necessarily an easy thing. It wasn't something that the disciples said, hey, let's go to Samaria. It wasn't like, let's go to Disneyland. It was like, I have to go. Why? Because there's a broken person who needs the power of the gospel. And I got to go share that with that person. You know, when we start doing outreach ministry, sometimes the Lord asks us to do things that are uncomfortable, you know, things that are outside our own comfort zone, to do things that are inconvenient for us, that things that are going to interfere with our timetable or you know, all of a sudden we're giving more, whatever it is. But Jesus said, I've got to do it. I must needs go through Samaria. There's a lot of broken, hurting people in this community. And, you know, through the years, this church has changed. You know, some of you, maybe you've been around 30 or 40 years, and you've watched the evolution, the change of our community. And as it's changed, we've shifted how we do ministry. But we've said, but we're here. We've got to do ministry here in this church. And I'm glad for all of the things that we're already doing. But, you know, you're always like, but Lord, is there something else that we need to be doing? What else is there that we might ought to be doing that we're not doing? And, you know, looking just last week at the Living in Victory ministry, one of the things that you noticed that it was all ladies in that home. There was a time where we had a men's Living in Victory program as well, and that, you know, things happen, and that program doesn't exist anymore. And several years ago, I mean, literally, it's been like maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I was introduced to a ministry called Hope Center. You've heard me use that name a couple of times over the last few weeks, and you're going to hear a little bit more in the next couple of weeks. But I was like, okay, Hope Center, but, you know, we've already got the Living in Victory for men and women, and, you know, God, I don't think we really need that here in our church. And then there's no men's program. And I'm like, okay, God, are you giving us another opportunity? Is this a chance for us to partner together with another ministry that's doing something with excellence? And when I say with excellence, there's some folks in this room, you've been and seen some of those houses. You've heard and talked to some of the leadership team, and we realize that, yeah, that's a really great program, a full drug and alcohol treatment center that we have an opportunity to partner with and bring that right here to the city of Tulsa, right here where we can see our loved ones. I don't know if any of you know anybody that's got a drug or an alcohol problem, but, you know, that they may need a treatment center. We're wanting to provide that kind of a ministry right here out of Spirit Life Church as we partner together with Hope Center. Yeah. So we're just kind of dropping seed, letting you know a little more. You got to be here in 2 more weeks where you're going to get a chance to hear, you know, the whole story of how that can happen and how we can all get involved in making that happen. And so I'm excited about that because, again, it's all about advancing the kingdom of God. Everything that we've talked about. Whether we're talking about Good Samaritan or, you know, feeding the hungry or Celebrate Recovery or Living in Victory or Men's Hope Center, every one of those things that we're talking about advancing the kingdom of God here on the earth. And that's what Jesus called us to do, was to advance the kingdom. It's interesting when you do a study in the Bible. You know, we talk church all the time. Jesus really didn't talk church all the time. Did you know that? I mean, you might be surprised to know that Jesus only used, in the Bible recorded, he only used the word church two times. Two times to talk about the church. He talked two times. But he talked about the kingdom about 130 some times. Something, you know, the church is a part of the kingdom, but Jesus wasn't interested just in the church. He was interested in something bigger than just the church. He was interested in the whole kingdom. He was interested in what happens when the power of God begins to descend into a community. What happens when, I mean, Jesus taught us to pray, right? He said, pray, thy kingdom come. And thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus foresees the kingdom coming and the will of God being done, it dramatically changes everything. Amen. You know, again, why do we partner with all these other ministries? Because it's amazing what will happen when you don't care who gets the result, who gets the credit. It's amazing what you can do when you don't care about who gets the credit. You're just like, hey, let's just let Jesus get glorified. How about that? Let's just let lives get changed. How about that? And so that's what we want to do. And I'm going to take you back this morning. I know some of you are so tired of hearing me go to Luke chapter 4, but it's just so in my spirit. I got to do it again. Luke chapter 4, I'm going to read it to you because it's this picture of what Jesus did. And it's his outline for us. It's him saying, this is what I do. This is what you need to be doing as well. So in Luke chapter 4, listen to what Jesus says. Verse 16. He, that is Jesus, went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it's written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You know, when I hear Jesus say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he's anointed me. There's something inside of me. I bet there's something inside of you that says, do it to me, Lord. I'd love to have your anointing as well. I want the Spirit of the Lord to come upon me and anoint me so I can do the work of the kingdom. And because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he's anointed me. And then we come to this word, too. He didn't just anoint me, period. He anointed me, too. See, Jesus doesn't just anoint us for the sake of anointing us. Jesus doesn't just fill us with the Holy Spirit just so we can say we're Pentecostals. Jesus doesn't give us the gifts of the Spirit so we can sit around and say, yeah, I did this spiritual gift test and I got this spiritual gift in my life. No, he's gifted us. He's empowered us. He's anointed us to do some stuff. The stuff that he was doing. So let's look at it real quickly. I know I don't have a lot of time, so y'all got to listen really fast. First of all, Jesus said he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. You know what gospel means. It means good news. I'm glad that we've got good news to share with people who need good news. There's some people in this room today. You need good news. You've heard enough bad news. You've had things that's happened in your life. I had, you know, somebody tell me before the service began this morning about how that they were needing new housing because they had gotten some bad news. I heard that same person was talking about how that they need a new transmission for their car. They'd gotten some bad news. We need good news. But the good news that we're talking about is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus saves, that it's the good news of John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, when we think about perishing and everlasting life, most of us are thinking about eternity stuff. We're talking about heaven or hell. But I want to tell you that there's a sense in which we can either experience heaven or hell here on this earth. Amen? You realize that? And Jesus doesn't just save us so that we can go to heaven but experience hell while we're here. That not perishing, that needs to start right here while we're on this earth. That's a part of the good news that Jesus wants to bring. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it says that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Notice that it doesn't say that he was preaching the gospel of salvation. He was preaching the gospel. Most of the time, we talk about the gospel of salvation. Now, there is a gospel of salvation, but the gospel of the kingdom incorporates the gospel of salvation and so much more. Because the gospel of the kingdom is not just healing our soul, but it's healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease and all of the brokenness that's in our life. That's what happens when the kingdom of God begins to come. It begins to change our lives. And we as a church get to be a part of proclaiming that good news. Jesus said, secondly, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted. You know, they're all around us. Brokenhearted people. I read where a minister was talking to a group of young coming up pastors, and he said to them, young gentlemen, always preach to broken hearts and you'll never lack an audience. Always preach to broken hearts and you'll never lack an audience because they're among us. They're here. Brokenhearted people, people who are going through tough stuff in their life and they're trying to figure out what am I going to do and how am I going to survive. Broken hearts. Lord, give us a heart for the brokenhearted. You know, sometimes it's easy for us to just become critical and say, well, you know, the reason that those people's lives are in the shape that they're in is because they made a bunch of bad mistakes and, you know, you reap what you sow. You know, that may be true. But here's what I also know, is that Jesus provides us not just a gospel of salvation, but a gospel of redemption. That you can have, you can make bad choices and get a second chance at life and find the joy that you've been looking for. And so we need to learn how to not just see people through the choices that they've made, but to have compassion and say, I believe in what God can do in your life, to really reach out with compassion toward the brokenhearted. Then he talks about deliverance to the captives. Deliverance to the captives, freedom to the prisoners. You know, Satan, he's bound up a lot of people. There are a lot of people that are held captive today. They're in bondage to things out of their past, things that people said, hurts and issues. They're in bondage to bad lifestyles and choices that they've made. And whether we're talking about alcohol, drugs, sexual problems, and I mean, there's just you just name it. And in fact, in CR, we sum it up by saying it's hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Yeah, it's hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And because we all have those. We all got hurts in our lives where people said things, did things. It hurt. It wounded us. But God doesn't want you to stay hurt. God doesn't want you living in that pain. He wants to set you free. You know, habits. There's lots of Christians today that still got habits in their lives that they need broken so that they can experience the freedom that is found in Jesus Christ. Hang-ups. We've all got them. We're hung up in this place or that place or another place in our life. Can't seem to get over it, get past it, get beyond it. Jesus came to fix all of that. That's what the kingdom is all about. It's not just salvation, but it's healing the brokenness in our lives and setting the captives free. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, it says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. Of course, that was back in Bible times when there were demons. You know, spoiler alert, there are still demons around today. You know, there are a lot of people who are broken and hurting, and they've opened up these doors for the enemy to come in and to attach to them and to really bring bondage to their lives. But Jesus wants to set us free. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus heals the man, and then he explains the healing afterwards. He says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. What is he saying? He says, I'm bringing the power of God, not just to, you know, say nice little sweet things and make you all feel good. But it's the power of God to literally cast out the demons. And then when those demons are cast out and the release comes into our life and the healing comes into our life, Jesus says, that's the kingdom coming. When Jesus is saying to us, pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. When we're advancing the gospel of the kingdom through outreach, we're advancing this truth, this reality that Jesus can and wants to set us free. One last thing. He says he came to preach recovering of sight to the blind. Now, blind could be interpreted either physically or spiritually. And I think it's not or, but it's and. That there are those that he wants to heal physically blind, but those that are spiritually blind, caught up in the darkness, the enemy's lied to them. You know, we live in a crazy world today with stuff going on, and we're like, how in the world do people believe some of the stuff that they believe? I'll tell you how they can believe it. Because they're spiritually blinded by the enemy, who they can't see truth. They just the enemy's blind to them. Listen, I want to tell you, Jesus wants to heal us physically and spiritually. In fact, there's a Greek word that we translate saved. It's the Greek word sozo, but it literally means to be made whole. To be made whole. See what Jesus wants to do in our lives. And I'm bringing this thing to a close. I want you to hear me this morning. What Jesus is doing in our lives, what Jesus wants to do, he wants to bring his kingdom to all of us. Not just the gospel of salvation. He wants us to go to heaven. He wants us to spend eternity with him. Don't get me wrong, he died on a cross to make that possible. But he wants us to be made whole. He wants to fix the brokenness and the pain and the hurt in our lives and allow us, grow us, allow us to become everything that he intended for us to be. Lord Jesus, God, I thank you for a church like Spirit Life that understands the importance of reaching outside the walls of this sanctuary. A church like Spirit Life that understands that it's not enough just to come together and to see our friends, and experience awesome worship like we have today, to hear a sermon preached to us, and then just pat ourselves on the back and go our merry way. But Lord, we're a church that understands that the power of the gospel touched our life. And now we have a responsibility to touch others. Lord, my prayer for our church today is twofold. Lord, would you help us to continue to be outwardly focused? Would you help us, Father, Lord, not to become ingrown in our spirit? Lord, help us to continually be that emergency room and not just a social club until the kingdom of God has been fully advanced in this community. Lord, my second prayer today is for those that are here this morning and their lives are still broken. Lord, they still need healing. They still need to be bound up. They still need to be set free. God, those who may not know the joy of salvation and have been looking for answers to life. It hasn't happened yet. Lord, that today that they would meet the Jesus who changes everything. Lord, change everything. In Jesus' name.
Let's just keep our eyes closed and our heads bowed. Sometimes when we hear things and it sounds good, sometimes we don't. it's familiar, and sometimes we don't like grab a hold of it with fresh conviction. And no, this is real. This is real life. And so maybe you are in that audience that Jesus came to minister to. Maybe you're brokenhearted. Maybe you feel that you lack, you're poor in spirit, the scriptures would say. You're needing something. You're trying to fill it with other things, or the things that the world offers, but you kind of still feel like you lack it. You need something else. There's something more. Maybe you feel that you're blind. You're kind of walking around aimlessly. You're groping in the dark. You're trying to find your way. I can tell you that you actually need one person, and his name's Jesus. If I pass this mic around, you would hear story after story of those that embraced Jesus as their Lord and found that they could see through him and by him, that he healed their sight, that they could hear again, they can feel again, they were made free, they were made whole, they were healed. So if that's you today, that you're saying, I want this healing, I want this, my broken heart to be bound up again, I want this, I want my eyes to see and my ears to hear, my heart again to find joy. And you're saying, I want the man that can do all of this and more in me. Just wave at me. I'd love to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. I see you there. I see you there. Is there anyone else? I see you there. I see you there. So it's really simple. We're going to surrender our lives to him. We're going to give our lives, and we're going to submit ourselves to him. And we're going to ask him to heal us and to forgive us of all of our mistakes. You ready to do that with me? Come on, church, let's do that together with those. So we say, Jesus, I thank you for the sacrifice that you made for me. That by the sacrifice you made on the cross, you removed the penalty of sin. Through you, I can ask for forgiveness, and the Lord will forgive me. So, Lord, I do that. In Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for all of my sins, for all of the mistakes that I've made. And I ask you to wash me clean. And I ask you to make me your own. Yeah. Jesus, I declare you are Lord. And I am yours. Would you be mine? I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my mind. Transform me from this day forward until I meet you face to face. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, welcome to the family. If you prayed that online with us, welcome to the family. You just let us know that you did pray. We'd love to follow up with you. I'd love to invite our prayer team to come up front here. Hallelujah. Well, we believe that not only is through prayer that we engage the man that changes our lives, right? Alone through salvation, but we believe that salvation continues as we engage him and we come together in prayer for our needs this week. And next week, the week after that, right? That there might be some things in our lives right now that we just need somebody to partner with us in prayer. And we have some people here that love you and love Jesus and knows him and wants to pray with you. And so I would invite anyone that would just need any need right after we close service and pray and bless you to go on in your week. If you just need to connect in prayer, I would invite you up front, okay? So, Father, I thank you for the spiritual family, and I ask you in the name of Jesus to release favor and blessing. Father, I ask that you'd protect us in our going in and our going out. Father, I ask that you'd help us, that you would direct our paths, that you would teach us the truth, that you'd show us the way that we need to go. I'm asking you to bring light to our eyes and to our hearts and continue this work of transformation. Complete it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, bless you guys. And if you need prayer, come up front. If you did give that, if you give your life to Christ today, join me back there at the guest central table. If you're your first time, join me back there. I'd love to meet you. God bless you guys.
Resurrection power, hey. Your blood.